Good morning. So good to see all of you here today in the Lord's house. I hope that you had a great week of thanksgiving and gratefulness unto God. And God's been working this week. And so we anticipate a great time of worship this morning. I hope you've come expecting to meet with God. Let's worship. Heavenly Father, we bless your name. We thank you that you are truly Emmanuel, God with us. And thank you so much for the word, Jesus, becoming flesh and dwelling among us. We worship you. I ask you to help us now as we enter this time of singing and Bible study and prayer and fellowship, that all these things, Lord, would honor you and bring glory to your holy name. You are worthy of worship, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing our hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. It's hymn number 245.
The first Christmas hymn. Thank you, Ken. All right, we're glad you're here. All of you that are guests, glad the Lord's led you to worship with us today. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Good to have you this morning. Good morning.
be seated. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we're thinking about today and studying today. In the process of preparing music to kind of coincide or go alongside Joel's message, I came across a hymn. I actually don't do this all the time, but the word incarnation is the word that we're thinking about today, and Joel's message is about. And so I knew Emmanuel came to mind right off bat, and O come, Emmanuel. So I knew that we needed to do those, but I did a search on Google. Okay, I admit it. Hymns or worship songs about the incarnation. And so it came up, hymns that we need to sing more. And so I looked at this one. It's in our hymn book. I've never done this before, but we're going to do it today. The words are powerful. The Bible says in John 1, and Joel will refer to this in a few minutes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. It talks about how Jesus himself was in the creative process of the entire universe. But then in verse 14, it talks about the Word becoming flesh, the incarnation. And so that's what we're talking about on this hymn. So the choir's going to lead it for us, but if you'd like to follow the music, you can do that in your hymn book, 414. Otherwise, the choir will lead the way and we'll sing it. The words will be up on the screen as well on this hymn that Google says we need to sing more often. Time Carson Brown is coming to share with us a message and song.
The song is called Only Jesus, and it's a very powerful message about how we should live our lives to further the kingdom of God and not to make a legacy of our own. So I invite you to sing it with me. Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. All an empty world can sell his empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. Jesus is the only. Trophies won will crumble into dust when it is said and done. 'Cause all that really matters. Did I leave the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And
Father, thank you so much for that great message and song. Only Jesus. That is the focus of our attention today, Father, as we worship you, as we sing these songs of praise, as we begin even thinking about singing Christmas songs. God in Christ is with us. Only Jesus. May that be the focus of our heart today, not just the songs we sing and the word that we proclaim, Father, but may it live in us. Today, as we leave this sanctuary and move out into the world, and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, the world that we live in that's dark and desperate and in need, our prayers, Father, that only Jesus would be our heart cry, and that we would live that life, Father. Thank you, Father, that in all things today, as we celebrate the gift of life in Jesus, that you give us the good news, the gospel, the hope, and only the hope that we find in Christ and Christ alone. Thank you, Father, for worshiping with us today. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we prepare to receive our morning offering. As we sing King of Kings and Lord of Lords, followed by There's Something About That Name.
Alleluia, King of Kings and Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. Thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, for all the things that you have done for us. And Father, now as we've come through this Thanksgiving season, we pray, Father, that we would give you thanks. We would give you adoration and praise for everything that you've done for us. Now, Father, this morning we ask that you be with those of our church family that are sick. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your healing. Bless them in a very, very special way. And be with our servicemen and women this morning, whether they're on home or foreign soil. We just pray, Father, that you would watch over them. Bless them. Keep them safe, dear Heavenly Father. Now, Father, as we come to that part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that that you've so graciously and generously given to us, we ask, Father, that you bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Choir's prepared this song to sing during the Christmas season. It's entitled, Behold the Lamb of God. It's no accident that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied that he would be, right? But also, Bethlehem is a place where the lambs that were to be offered as sacrifice, the perfect lambs, on the Day of Atonement, were born and selected. and they were wrapped in swaddling clothes by the workers that were selected, the Levites that were selected to be in charge of that. So you think about Jesus being born and laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, because he's the perfect Holy One, the sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Jesus came in order to do that for you and for me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, choir. All right, so everything from Carson's song that he led us in, the choir, the congregation, everything that we're singing today is pointing us to a person. God in Christ is with us, and that person is Jesus. So now what we're going to do is we're going to open up the Word, and we're going to talk about the incarnation of Jesus. Y'all, this morning in the early worship, I was coming up after the last song. Ken, typically the way that the early worship goes, we sing the last praise song, and then Ken leads us in worship, and the praise team is kind of putting their things up, and they're kind of making their way down, and then I come up. Well, as I'm walking up in the early worship, I look up in the screen, and it's got the passages of Scripture that I'm going to be preaching on for the day. John 1, Philippians 2, and Colossians 1. And so I look at Ken, I say, do you do that every week? Ken said, yeah, I do that every week. I said, I got to be more observant. I didn't know that that was up there. Every single week, Ken said, there might be some weeks that we kind of don't get it up there. But so that's where we're going to look at today. John 1, you see it right there. You know where to turn now. So John 1 is going to be our main passage of Scripture. And we'll eventually get to Colossians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2. But our main text for today is going to be John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn there, we'll read that in just a moment. Today, this morning, as we got to early worship, Christy Smallwood and I said, Christy walked by the Lord's Supper table and she didn't notice the Advent wreath. And she said, is today not the first Sunday of Advent? I said, no, it's not. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. But next Sunday, on the first Sunday of Advent, is Lottie Moon, International Missions Emphasis. And so I will not be preaching next Sunday because we always do Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon's that's such an important part of First Baptist Church. Not just Lottie Moon, and not just international missions, but just missions. And missions in Alabama, missions in North America, missions internationally all over the world. So next Sunday, on the first Sunday of Advent, I will not be preaching because we'll have our Lottie Moon emphasis. So today, even though it's not the first Sunday of Advent, I'm going to play pretend, as far as the preaching is concerned, I'm going to play pretend that we're on the first Sunday of Advent. We'll light the first candle on the Advent wreath, hope, next Sunday. But as far as the sermon is concerned, we're going to kind of play pretend that today is the first Sunday of Advent. We're going to do that by talking about the incarnation and Jesus, God becoming a human being. There are three main passages, three main texts in the New Testament, John chapter 1, Philippians 2, and Colossians 1. The Jesus who was predicted, prophesied in the Old Testament became a part of our world in the New Testament. And the theological term that we use to describe God in Christ is with us, God becoming a human being, the word that we use to describe that is called the incarnation. The best working definition of the incarnation is this. It is the act by which God became personally present in our world as a human being. Let me say that again. The act by which God himself became personally present in our world as a human being. There are three quick facts. First of all, this, we have to acknowledge the fact that the incarnation, God in Christ is with us. God becoming a human being, and we'll celebrate that for the next several weeks, as we now enter into the Christmas season, the incarnation permeates the entire New Testament. It's everywhere. You can't get away from it. All of Paul's epistles, all of Hebrews. I mean, we've been studying Hebrews on Wednesday night. So from Matthew to Revelation, the incarnation is absolutely everywhere as far as the New Testament is concerned. Secondly, we have to recognize the fact that the incarnation has aroused the severest opposition for 2,000 years. Since the very beginning, the ancient Gnostics did not believe in the incarnation. That God himself became a human being? Absolutely not. All the way from the ancient Gnostics, centuries ago, all the way to the modern day rationalists, there is this idea that the incarnation, that God became a part of our world in one flesh and body at one moment in history, is virtually implausible. And most cannot believe it. That's okay. If I didn't know Jesus as my Savior and Lord, you couldn't pay me to believe it. Those who don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, of course they don't believe it. Why would you believe that? God himself, even if you believe that there is a God, God himself literally came out of what you guys call heaven and became a human being. Why, I wouldn't believe that if you paid me to believe it. When I repented of my sin and I realized my desperate need, I repented of my sin and I said, Jesus, I desperately need you. Save me from me. Save me from this black-hearted sin that I have in my heart and in my life. Save me, Lord. So when I trusted Christ as my Savior and Lord, at that moment, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was going on. But at that moment, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gave me faith. And now, with faith, I have eyes to see and I have ears to hear. I say this all the time in sermons. All the time I talk about having the eyes of faith and having the ears of faith. We can see and we can hear the Word of God when it is proclaimed to us. And when we read it, it literally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, jumps off of the pages and it rips us and grabs us. And it teaches us. And because we have eyes of faith, we can see it. Because we have ears of faith, we can hear it. But those who do not have the eyes of faith and those who do not have the ears of faith, of course, they can't believe this. God literally becomes flesh and blood, one body, and a man named Jesus. Oh, absolutely not. Third, the idea of the incarnation then, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, for those of us who know that the incarnation is as true as anything that's ever been, we realize that that is foundational to our faith. Without the incarnation, without God in Christ is with us, without God coming to earth in the form of Jesus, without that foundational biblical fact and truth, then we have no gospel. And if we have no gospel, church, then we absolutely have no salvation whatsoever. We are, as the Apostle Paul says, fools for even being here on this Sunday morning. So where do we learn about this incarnation? Well, if you've got eyes to see, let's go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. John goes all the way back to eternity. And he says in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus, of course. Jesus existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never, ever, ever put it out. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they even rejected him. But to all who believed in him, Joel Samuels, and accepted him. He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or pain, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So in this very beginning, John takes us back before the preaching of John the Baptist. He takes us beyond, before the incarnation. He takes us past the majestic reign of David. He takes us past Abraham, past Adam and Eve. He takes us all the way past creation itself. He takes us all the way to eternity. So John takes us all the way back to the beginning with Jesus and God himself. So Jesus is not just kin to Abraham. He's not just kin to King David. He's not just to be recognized alongside of Adam and Eve. Instead, John identifies Jesus with the Word, which is also with God himself. So in this first movement of John chapter 1, John takes us all the way back with Jesus to eternity. And then in the second movement, he brings Jesus all the way down to us, to here with us. The Word became flesh. In the second text that we're looking at today, we're going to the book of Philippians. And in Philippians, Paul is talking about how we, as followers of Jesus Christ, the church, the body of Christ, living in a dark, sinful world, one of the things we need to make sure that we do is we need to make sure that we have the attitude of Christ so that the light of Christ can shine in the dark world. Well, in the midst of that discussion about being the light of Christ, Paul says in Philippians 2, 6, and 7, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, so this is the attitude that you need to have, the attitude of Christ. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So he affirms in verse 6 that even though he existed, though he was God. So Jesus' outward expression of his inmost being was an expression of the essence of God. Therefore, Paul concludes, he was God himself. God in Christ is with us. The third text is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds then all creation together right there in the palm of his hand. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. So Christ then is the visible image of the invisible God. So in Jesus we can see God. Jesus is the perfect copy of God. He is like God. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. So I say this all of the time. And I say this to people who are struggling with whether or not to believe. They're really in that I want to believe, but I just haven't fully repented of my sin and committed my life to Jesus and allowed Jesus to take hold of my life. Then I always, inevitably, in those situations, they always have questions about who is God? I mean, who is he? And every time to me, as a person who's trying to help that person and lead that person to Christ, it's very simple. Oh, you want to know who God is? Then look at Jesus. You want to know what God says? Then read Jesus. You want to know what God looks like? Yes, I do, Joel. I do. I want to know what God looks like. Oh, well, then that's simple. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what he looks like. What do you mean? That's him. Oh. Well, that's simple enough. Yeah. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us. He is the visible image of the invisible God. So what is the message of the incarnation? The omnipotent God became one of us. The invisible God became visible. The distant God became close. Dr. David Jeremiah wrote extensively about the incarnation. And he writes this: first, the incarnation reveals a truth about God. In the birth of Jesus, a new truth about God exploded onto the scene in human history. God is not just out there, He's also in our midst. Second, the incarnation reveals the truth about the person of Jesus. The Word, Jesus, is God, and the Word then became flesh. Two false ideas constantly challenge our understanding of Jesus. One is to humanize Him to the degree that we lose His divinity. The other is to divinize Jesus to the degree that we lose His humanity. The incarnation guards against both misconceptions. We can never understand Jesus in any way that implies that He is less than or inferior to God. Nor can we understand Him if we fail to realize that in all ways He is a human being as we are. He was fully God, fully human, combined in one personality. Finally, the incarnation tells us something about the work of Jesus. The New Testament writers did not stop with the declaration that Jesus is fully God and fully human combined in one personality. Instead, they connect this truth about the person of and work of Christ. For example, Jesus became flesh. Why? So that those who believed in Him could have the power to become children of God. When I read that quote from Dr. David Jeremiah, and I got to the end, they connect this truth about the person of Jesus to His work. For example, Jesus became flesh. Why? So that those who would believe in Him could have the power to become children of God. When I quoted that and I put that down, I then sat back from my computer and I thought to myself, and I realized that this is pretty arrogant and cocky of me, but I thought to myself, oh, I've got a better answer than Dr. David Jeremiah. Now, Dr. David Jeremiah is a great preacher. He is a great teacher. Many of you watch every week, daily, about what Dr. Jeremiah says. He is an exceptional writer. And I read Dr. Jeremiah's stuff a lot too, just like many of you. But I thought to myself, I got a better answer than he does. I got a much better answer than David Jeremiah has. And I'll tell you what that answer is. Why? Why is the incarnation so important? And I'm going to tell you my answer to that. Better than Jeremiah's. Because on August the 18th, 1963, at 4:40 on a Sunday afternoon, at Carroll County Hospital in Carrollton, Kentucky, a little baby boy was born. And that little baby boy would grow up to be as black as sin could ever be. That little baby boy would grow up to challenge the Apostle Paul when Paul says, I am the chief of all sinners. That little baby boy would grow up and say, move over. I've got this one, Paul. And that little baby boy, dark and black, filled with sin, would need a Savior. Desperately would need a Savior. Why is the incarnation important? Yeah. Because I need Jesus. One theologian said it this way: He became what we are so that we may become what He is. Is that beautiful? Jesus became what Joel is, human, so that I could become what He is, divine. Now, with all of that said, this doctrinal sermon, and that's exactly what this is, a doctrinal sermon on the incarnation as we move out of Thanksgiving, as we move into the celebration of Christmas and Advent, the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus, a doctrinal sermon on the incarnation of Christ, what does that mean to you? I know what it means to me, I've just told you. But what does it mean to you? Is it just some fairy tale that we believe because it's that time of year? You know, we sing the songs, it's the most wonderful time of the year. We watch Hallmark movies that show us all the magic of Christmas. And it's that time where you believe in all of these magical things. Is it just that it's that time of the year and we'll spend a month believing all of these otherworldly magical things, but then come January, forget all that. Let's get back to the regular world and real living. Is it just some fairy tale that we believe because it's that time of year? Or is it the greatest truth in the history of the world? So what does it mean to you? If you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord today, then we would say as Americans, we would say something like this. Today's your lucky day, but it's not your lucky day. It is your God-ordained day. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want you to hear that message. God in Christ is with you. Jesus took off the royal robes of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he put on flesh and blood to become one of us so that you today could have life in the name of Jesus. For those of us that know Christ as Savior and Lord, leap for joy, church. Leap for joy. I'm too old, too out of shape to physically leap anymore. But in my heart, you can count on the fact that I am leaping for joy. What joy! What joy to know that God in Christ is with us. I can guarantee you this, Larry Wilson is leaping for joy today. Larry's leaping for joy in a way that we can't even begin to understand. God in Christ is with us. And church, even though we didn't light the hope candle today, if we had, I would point to it to say, that is our hope. That God in Christ is with us. And without the incarnation, we have no hope. Without the incarnation, this is how I ended my sermon in the early worship. Without the incarnation, church, all you've got is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Father, I thank you that the Word gives us more than that. The Word became flesh. All the way back to eternity. And will be with us all the way throughout eternity. Now that is my hope. And the one that was from all the way back to eternity took on the form of a human being, flesh and blood, to become like me, like us. Father, I'm thankful today that we can celebrate the gift of life that is in Jesus. If there's anybody on Facebook Live, if there's anybody in this sanctuary that's never trusted Jesus, then our prayer is today is the day of salvation, that they would repent of their sin, put their faith and trust in Jesus. For those of us that know Him as Savior and Lord, Father, may we leap for joy at this great biblical truth because we've got eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen. What's the invitation we're going to sing? There's something about that name. If you've never trusted Christ, you've heard the good news. You've heard the gospel. Trust Him today. If you need to come and join our church or pray here at the altar, whatever the Lord leads you to, do that as we stand, as we sing. seated for just a moment. What do we got first of all right, so December the 16th is our mature adults Christmas brunch. Sign up sheet on the old Lord's Supper table. There's already a ton that are already signed up for that. It's going to be a fun day, great day. But if you haven't signed up yet, go ahead and do that. All right, next, baby dedication. A few weeks from today, on December the 17th, we've got at least three families that are going to dedicate their child in the 8:15 service. And if you have a child that you want to dedicate, make sure that you see Micah Gilmore, our children's minister, and he will get you on that day for December the 17th. All right, Ken?
So next Sunday night is here, the Pickers Christmas Concert, December the 3rd at 6 o'clock. We've got some new material. The chicken head will make appearance on Tim Hayes' head, and we're going to have a good time. But come and be a part of that. Use it as an opportunity to invite someone to come with you, maybe someone not involved in church, and be a kind of a segue for them maybe to get involved here at our church. Multi-generational choir, they've been working hard. We'll start this Wednesday night at 7:30 with a full run-through. Next two Wednesday nights will be just like that. And so be praying for us as we get that ready, and then come be a part of it. You can invite folks to come with you that night. Admission is free on all of these, 6 o'clock on the 10th. And then our Carols by Candlelight service. I like having it up on the screen. That way I don't get them mixed up.
You can read it correctly.
I can read it correctly, yeah. Observing the Lord's Supper on that night, December the 17th at 6 o'clock. All the choirs and the musical groups of our church will sing. The sanctuary choir will sing Behold the Lamb of God, just like we did this morning, but before the Lord's Supper on that night. So that'll be a powerful time in that service as well.
And then keep that in mind. We always do this at the end of the year, December 24, Christmas Eve, December 31, New Year's Eve. We have one service here, and that's it, just the 10 a.m. service. No Sunday school, no early worship, just one worship service, all right? Also, the men's breakfast. Yeah, men's breakfast is coming up this Saturday at 7 a.m. In the fellowship hall. That's been going so well. So, men, you're invited to come be a part of the men's prayer breakfast, all right? Also, notice in your bulletin, Friday, December the 15th at 8 a.m. fellowship hall, Kevin Hawk doing the jail ministry. We just get all of those goodies up there. We just form a line, and people just go through and make all of those baskets. We take those, about 300 or more baskets, to the jail ministry. So that's always a good thing. If you'd like to come on that Friday morning to help Kevin Hawk, that will be a great thing. All right, let's close by standing and singing Victory in Jesus.